Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. And it reads, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Blessing to be together. First day of the week, the day in which Christ rose from the dead. Now we assemble this morning to be able to think about our Creator, to think about the blessings that we have. I want to talk a little bit about this morning, about the lesson. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, and on my calendar I got marked best time of the year to preach on love. So this week, I started on a lesson on love, and it led me down a different track. I followed the scriptures, and the message that I'm going to present to you this morning revealed me a lot about God's grace and his purpose for our life. And we read the scripture that David read for us this morning, "More Than Conquerors." I hope that you'll see how love led me to this lesson this morning. And then along with God's providence, which this lesson is going to be a lot about God's providence, the study led me to God's providence, his grace, his wonder, and I thank God for that. I'm praying about presenting this message this morning. So if we start talking about what we need fundamentally, I've been rereading through one of my counseling books recently, and it's talking about the basics, what people need. So we can start off with this question right here. Do you need love? And every one of us in here should say, yes, I need love. Yeah, of course I do. Now, people look for love in different ways. So we ask, do I need love? Some are thinking more of attention. They're thinking of acceptance. They're thinking of general security. And all those things, we could say in some way, we need them as a part of love and the compassion that we need in our life. The problem is when we start setting our own standard for how I want love and how I want attention and how I want acceptance and how I want security and how I expect others around me to give those to me instead of going to the source. Instead of going to the one that should give us the foundation of Jesus Christ being our rock and our foundation to help us in those things. And oftentimes we can look in our life and see a level of maturity. We start off a lot of times wanting attention as a form of the love that we want. And then later more of acceptance. And then later on in life, security. On the other hand, that love that often is needed. Others would say the other thing you need in life, very basic level, is purpose or meaning. Yes, do you need meaning in life? I believe that I do, and most men, that's where usually our focus is more on, is on meaning and purpose. However, if I'm taking my meaning by how successful I am or my own self-importance, like I'm who I am, and I start thinking that the world owes me something or society owes me something or God owes me something, rather than seeing that my meaning, my purpose, my importance, my success comes from God. It's embedded in him. We want to go to him and see that God has created us for these wonderful things. He does give us meaning and he does give us love. Now, a lot of the problems that we face in life is often associated because we start giving our own life the meaning we want it to have. We start saying, I'm important and I set what is important. That's where issues come from. Or I want love and I'm going to get it in this way. And we've seen people go down that route before. We've seen people we love who say, this is the point of my life, is to make more money, to be a successful businessman, to do this, to have people's attention, to be popular, to get the love and acceptance of others by how I entertain them and how I speak to them. Here's the truth. Only God can meet humanity's needs, not self, not what I said. And all the problems you see throughout the world today, it's always self or trying to draw in from society, trying to get their love and meaning from that, rather than God and our Creator. Why don't you look at this morning, our main passage here, Romans chapter 8. David read part of this for us. And here are some observations we can read from this text. Because God gave his Son, he will not withhold his grace from us. And as I was going through and studying these things and seeing how God has blessed us, how that we have the gifts that we have, one word stood out. And the word is God's grace. Throughout the scriptures, we see the word grace. And oftentimes we think about God's grace, we're thinking about his forgiveness, his mercy to save us. Often, that's usually what we're thinking of. We might think of Ephesians chapter 2, talking about us being saved by grace. But the blessings and the gifts that we have today comes from God's grace, His gift given to us. And a lot of times, some people see what's easier for me to try to draw love and meaning from the world than come to God, because they feel like they're inferior, like every time they try to do something, they're going to be guilty. Well, we aren't all guilty before God, but it is God who will take us and make us and mold us and make us who we are if we just love Him and we turn to Him and seek Him for those purpose and those good things. So we also see this in the passage. No one can condemn a Christian because Christ is at the right hand of God. Nothing in creation can separate Christians from the love of Christ. And Christians are more than conquerors through this grace. And we're going to expand on this, but let's read that passage again. If you have your Bible, look in Romans chapter 8, 31 and following. Romans chapter 8, 31 to the end of the chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Notice the connection with grace to His giving to us everything that we're going to need in this life. He says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Nobody can condemn us. It's God who justifies us, who makes us right before Him. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are all the more conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you can see right there, seeing that love cannot separate us, how I ended up going down the track of God's given us everything by His grace. Christians are more than conquerors because there's nothing in creation that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from His grace and the gifts and the blessings that He has given us. It is all through His love. But this is what often happens. Here's that sinful conflict. That though we know these things and we read these things, this is what we find. People separate from God by their own selfish sin. It is selfishness. It's a self-centeredness about us that tells us, well, I'm important on my own. It's my own self-importance. And, you know, my parents always told me that you're who you are, and that is powerful by itself. No, it's because God has created me that makes me important. It's because God knows who I am. It's because God has sent His Son. It's because He has loved us, and He loves His creation. And there are some who, by their selfish sin, they covet acceptance. They covet all these things around them. They want to be acceptable. They want attention. They want security. They want love for any reason. They're willing to give anything for it rather than coming to God. Now, I'm mentioning these things this morning. You're thinking, how does this apply? How do I do this? Again, you have this basic thing that you want underneath. I want purpose in my life and love. And then I find myself getting depressed and getting down on myself because the people I want to love me don't love me the way that I want them to. Notice the word I want, the selfishness behind them. And then we get down and depressed and discouraged, and maybe we degrade ourselves because I think success is this. I need to make more money. I need to provide more for my family. I need a bigger house, and I need land, and I need nice new cars to be driving all the time. Who came up with that? Man did. But you realize that not a lot of men are down because of that. I don't have the job that I want. I'm not doing the things the way I want to do them. I want to talk about that some more. God has seen you at your worst, and yet He still loves you. God loves you. He sent His only Son to die for you. Give your life to Him. Seek the love that can only come from Him that can give meaning and fulfillment to your life. Turn to Him for those gifts and the things He gives you by His grace. Listen to this. I know that God loves us through all the weakness and the things that we've done, because I read Romans 5, 6 through 8, and I believe Paul when he says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. That is, he died for us, ungodly, separated from him, alienated from him. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now some would say, oh, I'm a sinner and I've done so many things wrong. Certainly God can't accept me. He sent Jesus because he loves you, and he can accept you if you come to him by faith and follow him. If you're obedient to him, if you give your life to him, you're going to find everything that you're looking for in all the wrong places. You're going to find it in the right place, in God, that love and meaning and purpose in him. God wants us to love our enemies because God loves his enemies. We were those enemies, and we want to follow his pattern. And we see this in the Bible, that God loves his enemies, and he loves those enemies. It also says in Psalms that he both yet hates the wicked and what they do. And someone might say, well, isn't that a conflict in Scripture? Not at all. God can hate the wickedness, the sin, the wicked man, and yet love him so much that he wants him to change. We see that in the Apostle Paul, and Saul, he was a persecutor, and he abused the church and wanted to destroy it. And yet by God's grace, God took him and changed him. And that's how Paul describes God's providence. He calls it grace. We see this as well. God loved us while sinners and enemies. Further down in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were brought back together with God by the death of his son. Much more, now we are reconciled. Shall we be saved by his life? The fact that he died for us and that he rose again, we're reconciled and brought back to God. I want to talk about this a little bit deeper. Should we avoid God fearing that we would fail? I'm afraid many Christians have done this. I failed at this and I failed at that. I'm just going to stay in my little corner in the church, maybe do a few of the little things that I know because I'm afraid of failing. But I want to show you this morning the scriptures that show us that by God's grace, he's given you gifts to use. I was thinking about this lesson. I was thinking about what was happening this week and when Steve and a number of others in the congregation went over to the Florida Bible Camp and did good works. And I thought about these scriptures and I said, this is it. Those individuals that went yesterday and served in that way, you're doing and you're using the gifts that God's blessed you with. You found the purpose and the love that's with him. And you want to increase and grow with that. The people in the world today who are seeking for all these things, they can't find it without God and Christ. And they're not going to. It's not going to make any sense to them. And yet, for some strange reason, because we feel like we might be a failure, we don't come to God. That doesn't make any sense to me. But many reason that way. Many people fear the Christian life because they think they can't live up to it. They won't be successful. Or that God won't love them. Well, God already loves you. While you're a sinner, sending his son to die for you. They feel guilty because they think, I won't live up to be just like Jesus. Well, that's why Jesus came, because we can't do that. That's why he died for us and loved us. God's love and his grace and his faithfulness, they're powerful to us. The reason we get together on Sunday morning is we think about and we worship our God, because when we worship him, we put our love in him, we put our trust in him, we put our faith in him, we put every purpose and meaning of our life in him. And that changes us. And the minute we stop having a part in the church and we stop reading our Bible and we stop praying, we've found all of a sudden I'm degrading myself. Everything seems hopeless and I start moving away from God. I want you to listen to this. I think this is a very powerful point. If you fail in your business, if your spouse leaves you, if the church ignores you, if your work is menial, if you can only afford a little house and one used, beat-up car, you can enjoy the grace and love and the purpose that God gives you. Your life has meaning and purpose, great meaning and purpose, more than you know. God has blessed and given you great things. And don't look at all those things and say, and lower yourself. God's given his only son to die for you. I want to look now at God's providential grace. What God is doing with you. Sometimes we think, why am I here right now doing what I am? Is God going to use me? You know what the scriptures say? By God's grace, he's making you and forming you and molding you, and he's giving you gifts and a purpose and meaning in life to do something. And it may not be that something doesn't come to your in your 60s or 70s or 80s before you realize the great things that he's done in your life and is doing even more. You don't know when it's going to happen, how God is using you, but I want you to look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's talking about the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He goes through a number of the witnesses, and he comes down and he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Listen to what he says here. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And you would think a person like that would say, I am worthless. I voted to have people put to death because they were Christians. But that's not what Paul did. He changed. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, it is God's grace. It is God who has changed me. He is who makes me important. And his grace toward me was not in vain. What was God's grace? To show Jesus resurrected on the road to Damascus. To change him by knowing the gospel. Showing Paul that you have a purpose and a meaning to take the gospel to all the nations. That was God's grace. That was his providence. And he says, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that worked within me. And Paul realized that. It was God who made me and his grace working through me. Later on, also in Galatians 1, Paul says that God called him by his grace, revealing his son to him. That changed him and set him on his mission and his course. God has purpose and gifts for you. He's given you gifts for you to use them. You know, Jesus warned us in the parable of the talent, to use our talents, even if you have one, not to bury it, not to hide it, but to use it, to invest it, to turn it into more. And I want you to listen to what Peter says right here. Because you as a Christian, the things that you do and the things that you say have an eternal impact on those around you. Fathers, you have an eternal impact on your children and on your wife. Wives, you have an eternal impact on your children and on those around you, on your husband, by the things that you say and what you believe and where you stand. Every Christian in here, by those that are around you, you see that. What you do matters. It has an impact. At 1 Peter 4, verse 10, listen to what Peter says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. God's given you a gift. As God's stewards, if you're a steward of God, you're using things right. And it says, of God's varied grace, in other words, not everybody has the same grace and the same gifts. But God has given you a gift. Listen, he says, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. You have the ability to speak. You don't get up and just tell your own opinions or give your own wisdom. You speak the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to look a little bit closer at some of these gifts that are given. Over here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, one is not to think of oneself highly than others. You're not important because of who you think you are, who your parents said you are. It's because God created you. He made you, and he sent his son to die. That's what gives you importance. Christians are members of one body, and yet there's different gifts according to God's grace. We're going to see that. But what are those gifts? Take a look right here. Romans chapter 12. You think, I don't have a purpose, I don't have meaning. God's given you a gift. The Bible says that he has. He's given you a job to do. What is it? What is your job? Listen to what he says. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with the sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we are many members, and the members do not all have the same function. And so we, though many, as one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, listen to this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. That's God's grace. The gifts that you have, God's given to you to use them. Let us use them. That's a command. That's an imperative in the Greek. Let us use them. In other words, you must use them. He says, if prophecy, in other words, in preaching or proclamation or evangelism, in proportion to your faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, so if it's serving or if it's teaching, the one who exhorts, to exhort means you're an encourager. If you can encourage, take on that role in the church in his exhortation. God has given you that gift. The one who contributes in generosity, if you are a good business person, you've been successful, you've been blessed by God, give generously. The one who leads with zeal, if you're leading, do it with zeal. And it says, the one who does and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Everybody has a gift there. Look at it. Either proclaiming or serving, teaching, encouragement, contribution, leadership, or mercy. God's given you a gift, and I encourage you this morning, use it. That's God's gift. Part of his love demonstrated to you. Rely on God's grace to fill your life with purpose and love. Turn to him. Stop looking to all the other things in the world. Stop limiting yourself and saying, I'm not good enough because I can't live up to the world standard, so I can't live up to God's. That doesn't make any sense. God's the one who has blessed you. He's the one who's given you the gifts. Use them. And it is by God's grace that you are saved. And why has God saved us? He has formed a people called the church. I want you to listen to this before we finish this morning. Listen to the scripture. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. Notice that. And why did he save us? Why has God formed his church? He has made us a body that works, that serves, that has given gifts by his grace. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's who we are. As the church, we have a mission. Take the gospel to the world to glorify God. And everybody in here has a gift this morning, or maybe more than one. The things that we've read come from his grace. Use them. And for all that we do, we know that God loves us and he's blessed us all with a purpose and meaning and a job in his church. Hope this encourages you this morning. Look at those scriptures. Write them down. Think on them your own. Contemplate them. This morning, if you're not a Christian, become one. You become one by conforming to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You believe he rose from the dead. You confess that. And you die your sins in repentance. You're buried in the waters of baptism and rise up in the newness of grace, newness of life. You're saved by grace. We see that here in Colossians 2. You can read it for yourself. It's God that raises us up. He is the one working through us. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you've not been baptized yet, think about it, contemplate it, let us study with you. If you need encouragement, you need prayers, we want to encourage you. We want to help every member in here to take on the role, the job, the purpose that God has given them and to put it into use. God's given it to you. He's done so by his grace. This morning, we want to encourage you, we want to pray with you. You need to obey the gospel. Please come right now while we stand and while we sing.